Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Robert Milburn here with me. And Robert is the founder of Websites at Our Fingertips, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in Milton, Ontario. So, Robert, today I'm really excited to have you here with us, and we're going to be learning about your journey of starting your agency. We'll learn a little bit about how you continue to grow your agency and also some challenges that you've had to overcome. So thank you
Sounds
for joining
great.
Me today.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me, Julia.
Awesome. Yes, of course. So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner.
I think inspiration always comes from everyone else outside of me. So there's so many people who need help on every level as far as growing their businesses. So I find inspiration all over the place, like every day, whoever I'm working with, it's easy to get inspired, honestly. It really
is. Yeah.
So I started out a long time ago. I've been doing this for 25 years now, 26.
Okay, very cool.
I've been incorporated for 25 years. I've been doing it for longer. But so I was sort of at the bleeding edge of technology since the very beginning. I was building websites when it was, you know, there was no tools or anything for it. The website was the whole internet was brand new. So it's come a long way. And to stay inspired is this in this industry, it's easy because it's always changing. So
I know it's so true.
It's just trying to stay on top of things, I think.
And
right.
Absolutely. And then so why don't we talk about your story? I mean, 25 years being in the industry is so, so cool. I have so much respect for anyone who's been working, you know, since the beginning, really designing, developing websites. So what was that journey like to starting your agency? What did that look like for you?
Well, at first, there weren't a lot of people who even wanted a website. So it was still a lot of IT and tech support and, you know, fixing computers and break and fix that side of it, right?
And then did you have your own business doing this? Did you work for someone else? What was that?
No, I did work for a bunch of VARs, they call it, the value-added resellers for the computer support. Like I was an IT tech. I worked for IBM and Lenovo and some other companies. I've worked with the government. I've had a lot of government computer experience, right? As a background.
Okay.
And then when just a little story is IBM took over Lenovo when I was there. And I was a top tech for all of Canada. And they gave my job up to my American counterpart, who honestly wasn't very good at his job. So it just broke my heart that I was working for one company at the time. I had two young kids at home. And they let me go. I didn't see it coming. And I was devastated. Wow. So I swore to myself at that point, forget it. I'm running my own business. I'm going to have multiple clients. So any one of them can fire me at any time. And it's not going to destroy me anymore. So that's my motto. And that's where I've come from. And I've done that. I've got, even after COVID, I still have 40 plus customers ongoing.
It's so,
I found a way to protect myself, I guess, is what I've done. So that was back to the inspiration. I think that's what came back to it. But 25 years I've been doing this now.
Very good. Yeah. That's a tough lesson to learn. But at the end, it's such a great learning experience because it really is so important to diversify your client base so that you protect yourself, like you say. So that's really interesting. And then, so you started off with doing the IT work. And then how did that segue into the websites?
Yeah, because websites are really fun to build. Like they're tedious, obviously. It works well for someone who I'm always graphically oriented. So I always like the colors, the way things work, logos, and all that kind of how that all fits, right? And fonts. I've always been a big fan of like calligraphy in the day. And then it's like Windows came out with all these different fonts. And it's like, okay, I lost myself in the fonts. And right. It's just a matter of making it look really good. So yeah. I think that's always attracted me to it. And I have a skill for it. And I guess a perfectionist kind of aspect to it, where it just has to be perfect. And I think in this world of making all this happen, is you have to be like this, because you can't have anything out of line. And yet you have to draw the line. You got to say, okay, I think it's ready. It's done. Stop tinkering. And yet I do. I continually tinkering on stuff. That's, I think, part of my success, that, you know, always just, oh yeah, look, that needs fixing, fix it. And that's the great thing about a website, is you can, as opposed to it's a printed book. It's out there. You can't change it. It's done. Yeah. You have to sort of, okay, accept it. Maybe that would be better, actually. Like the podcast, you can't go back and change it. Now it's live. It's there. It's done.
Can't change 100%. It. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Interesting. And then, so when did you formally open your doors for websites at our fingertips?
Yeah. So the websites didn't really start until, I guess the websites, I was full force websites when I moved to Milton 12 years ago. And I realized that this is the business to be in. I can work from home. I don't actually have to visit people anymore, which I really like. So, and I still had a bit of a hybrid. There's a lot of people I was still supporting, their computers and their networks and stuff like that. But yeah, it came down to, I can do this from here. And because my kids are younger, I can keep an eye on them and I can help out more at home and my wife can go off to work. And it was a better life work balance, being able to pull that off. And I had enough clients that it made sense. I was, I still didn't have enough money to pay for an office outside the house. So it worked out really well. So yeah, I think about 12 years ago, I focused specifically on websites and marketing, right? So that's when I really got into, like, Google started happening with the Google Ads or AdWords back in the day. And that's where I kind of focused on what Google was doing. And I think the secret sauce is, there's no secret. You just, what does Google want you to do? Read it and do it.
And just do it.
And you'll see the successes there. So a lot of what I do is really just educating people as to why Google works so well and how to get yourself listed in the top of those. So I've got some really good videos I've come up with about, I call it dance your way to the top of search results. So on my website, it's a 17-minute video, but it goes through just getting the word out about what Google does and how you get in the ads and the map and the organic listings. And it's a really good overview of how to get into those places. And then, it's not just digital marketing. It's on every level, right? Because it's, when you get to the Google Ads, you start to learn that you need a good landing page, because Google's ranking you and your ad there. So when you have clients that are paying for clicks, it makes a lot of sense to make sure your landing page is doing everything you can. So you start to learn over time how to make those landing pages really work. What's going to convert people? What's going to get people to call? What's going to get it to work, from both getting ranked higher to making it work on every level? And then over the years, you start to realize there's a lot to go on, and you just do it. You just have to build the whole thing, from the ad out to the landing pages to everything else. And now I have high-end services, so it actually competes really well. So yeah, I think I've got, it always comes fun. It's fun to compare everything to a car, because we all understand cars. So car analogies, I'm really good at them. So in this case, we've built race cars, right? Like, Google has the best track on earth, right? So I've got some really nice, each one of my clients has a different race car, and some of them are, I'm driving it completely. They just say, go, you're the driver. And I'm like, okay, fine. And some of it, they're driving them themselves. So it's kind of fun to see how well we're performing on every single level with all this. So I figured it out as how best to help each of my clients individually. And they're all people where the pay-per-click works. So a new client to them, when you're onboarding a new client, they're worth a certain value. So depending on what it is, like, they have to be a new... onboarding a client instantly, if you're bringing in $600 or more right away off that client, and I'll show you that they're worth more than that, obviously, in the long run, because they're going to give you referrals and stuff like that. But if you can onboard them and bring $600 in right away, you're going to pay for that pay-per-click campaign right there. So you're already ahead of the game. You have a positive return on investment immediately. So I always look for clients that have that. Like, dance schools are one of my favorites. After school kids programs work really well, because I can make them all, I'm really good at those, but everything else as far as like e-commerce. And then on the other side of it, I have like lawyers, accountants, chiropractors, real estate agents. So with that mix, it's fun for me because I get to try it on all different levels. But it's also working because each of them, contractors, another one is that they have that and they see a value in the pay-per-click, whether they keep it running or not, doesn't matter. But right out of the gate, they're happy and it's instant gratification all the way around. I guess that's what we sell, instant gratification, right? So that's what it comes around to is, I don't know, what was the question originally?
This is interesting. And then, so I know you serve a variety of different types of businesses. Mm-hmm. So what is your strategy for connecting with these business owners to grow your agency?
So I think being in digital marketing, you have to be curious. You have to try different things constantly. So obviously the top three best performing marketing approaches, and I have a graph that I show everyone. The first one is always email marketing. It's really inexpensive and it works on every level, but it really is about upselling the people you have already. So the next one, the next most effective is Google Ads. Search ads. Google's the best of the best in that, but they're not the only player in the game. And because that second, that's where we go to first. So normally we start with newsletters. And this is me internally too. I do the same thing. I practice what I preach. Is newsletters are great to get out there. They're not good for winning new clients. Pay-per-click works really well for winning new clients, but you kind of need the newsletter campaign first before you get to that. Otherwise, you're throwing money away. And then the next one is the SEO. So that's the work that you do in your website, like adding content and then sharing it in your newsletters and sharing it in social media. So that third one is the key to everything. You have to have a nice website. You have to be continually adding content and showing you're an author in that space. So you'll see that my website, when you look at it, it has depth. Like I'm constantly adding to it. And I'm doing that myself, but I'm also doing that for my clients. And then after that, it falls off. So the next one is actually like printed printouts for like little cards or postcards for your neighbors and stuff like that. That's actually next. I'm also part of a networking group. So I'm networking every week. I have a networking group where we sit down and we work together to help each other with referrals and stuff like that. I find that's fun and has a huge return on investment as well. I don't know where it fits on the graph yet because I've only been doing it for like a year or so. And what else after that? Like, I mean, well, look at everything. Like the outbound calls, that's definitely cold calling is something that I invest in as well. It's an important piece of what we have to do because especially for like clients like the dance school where they're not looking for what I have, they don't know what exists. You really have to find a way to get a hold of them. And the only real way is to actually go visit them. And it's usually better if you do a newsletter and a cold call campaign first. So at least it's a warm call instead of a cold call, right? It's because they're sort of know who you are. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I saw your newsletter. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think that's so important because a lot of people, they don't like being, you know, it's jarring to them when you just do the cold outreach, but I agree. I think it's super important, but I think that's really smart kind of warming them up with the newsletter and also paid as well. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Warming. We're trying to warm them up. That's exactly, I think maybe that would be a good name for our business. Warming you up or something. It'd be a better name probably. Yeah. That's what I'm learning too. So I've hired someone who's really good at that and I'm not an expert at it myself. So I think a lot of it is trying to figure out who's really good at what they do. Cause you can't be a jack of all trades and you have to sort of delegate it. So I'm really good at once they call me or they set up a meeting, I'm really good at showing you what your options are and going through your options. I'm not really a sales guy per se. I'm more of a, I'll show you your options. These are all your options.
Yeah. When they've raised some of them their don't hand, include me. Yeah. Show them.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm open and I'm really genuinely interested. I think these are your best options for how you can do your business. And we always come out with, you know what? I can help you. I know I can. I want to help you because I know I can. And it works out really well. So I close a lot of sales with that approach. And there are times when it's like, you know, this isn't a good fit, but I think you could do really well with this and this and this and this. And that's where you got to start. And
yeah.
And I never burn a bridge. It's a really easy approach. And I'll joke about this, but it's like, if you can't convince them, confuse them. It's not my motto. It's the exact opposite. I'm trying to make sure I don't confuse you no matter what I do. But
yeah,
that's always at the top of my head is, are they following me? I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Very good. And then, so what is your strategy for maintaining happy clients who are, you know, hopefully going to bring in those referrals for you as well?
Yeah. So that's what it all comes down to, is referrals and 5-star reviews, no matter what. That's the most important thing of everything we do, especially now that Google will put your reviews up, whether you like it or not. So you have to be providing a 5-star service to everybody you deal with. And I don't know how every once in a while, something might fall apart or you might mismatch. And it really is about, the first thing you do with someone is set up reasonable expectations. That's the key.
Huge.
Because as soon as you start telling them how it is out of the gate, not only are you going to get their confidence and their trust, but you both have a good idea of how that's going to work through the whole process and just keep people in touch the whole way. So that's how it works. Like, I make most of my living, I pay per hour. I'm, as much as I'd like to escape trading time for money, I don't know how. So I've embraced my time. So that's what I do, is I keep track of my time and I send my clients my time, or my employees, we all keep track of our time and we send them the bill every month. And it's in point, in itself works out well, because they're constantly able to come back to us and say, well, I don't know about this time. And we're having a conversation about it right away. So I think that's the two keys: reasonable expectations right out of the bat. And then on a regular basis, we've got a conversation going. So some clients are, and that's how I bill them. I either bill you, do we talk yearly? Do we talk quarterly? Or are we talking every month? Right. So that's
interesting.
I think it's a really good system for meeting people and talking to people on a regular basis. I think that's the key. It's all people. Like, all this technology is awesome, but it really just helps us keep track of what we're really doing with that person or those people, that team that we're working with. It comes back down to, you got to talk, you got to work regularly, honestly.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's never going to happen. And last but not least, you have to ask for that 5-star review. You'll never get it if you don't ask. So I tell everyone the same 100%. Thing. So you word it like this. You word it like this. You say, are you ready to give me a 5-star review? If so, go here. And if not, let me know what I need to do to get that 5th star. And that's win-win-win all the way along. Because I read that somewhere. I didn't make that up, but it works. And it's so effective, because then they're coming back. Yeah, I don't think I give you 5 stars yet because you're too expensive. And then you have to start selling on the value and start talking about how value and right. And yet start talking about, and if they say, oh no, something wrong with, you didn't get back to me in time on this. And I go, okay, well, let's set up some new SLAs for this account then. Right. There's always a way through whatever fell apart. There's always a way to get through it. But if you're not asking for those 5-star reviews, you won't know what's wrong with your clients. You won't know, right? You won't know what's going on. And I think a lot of people and a lot of businesses are opposite of this. They're like, okay, now we've got your subscription fee and have a great life. We'll see you in 50 years, maybe, when we raise our prices.
Being proactive and asking for that feedback is so important. You know, it's not always easy to hear, but you know, when you're able to just get that information and adjust as needed, it's just going to help create even more happy clients down the road. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's keeping touch with them, right? Like, being the people thing. And that's where I fight against this AI and all this artificial intelligence. And as much as I'm good at automating things, we really have to come back now and embrace the people who are doing the work. And we're enabling each other and helping each other out. And I think we're at that point, especially like, one good thing out of COVID is that more of us are getting better at these online meetings. And I think that's a huge leap in technology, in our ability
huge
to actually have
for everyone.
Right? Time saving and everything. Just the ability to actually meet, share screens, collaborate on stuff is it's a huge leap forward. And I've been trying to get people to do this for, like 10 years, maybe, right? With all the different platforms. But now that's the one good thing. Now, when I set up meetings, everyone's ready for this type of meeting where you're online and you're.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a huge step forward. And that's enabling us again, where now we can meet with people and go through with things without actually having to spend all that time, like you said, visiting them. And I think I calculated my cost for how much it would cost, how much it costs to get me to visit your office now is stupid. It's ridiculous.
And then I agree 100%.
When I get back to the office, it's like, I still have all that work to do. It's like you take a vacation, you're gone for a week or two. You still have 2 weeks of work to do when you get back, right? It's hard to escape that. But so embracing the people and embracing, making the most of our moments, I think is what I think is the secret to getting those 5-star reviews and keeping people in the moment and being real with people, I think is the key. I think that's always going to be the key, no matter what we do.
Okay. And then, so what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown your agency? And how have you overcome that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because honestly, I got to say, I haven't overcome it yet, especially with the COVID happening, is the financing. Like, how do you get it so that you're making enough money to cover all the costs and making sure you're on top of everything as it is? And right now, I'm way out on a limb because I went and rebranded this whole one dance school solution I have. And the big launch day for this was March 2020. And COVID, I'm blaming the government, shut them all down, right? So we shut them all down. And it was the right thing to do. But that really left me in the lurch because I really didn't have the heart to sell to them because I know they're all closed. And yet I wasn't fast enough to adjust. So I could have just said, okay, drop that. Let's go back to my other businesses and we'll keep working on people that I can send. But I was, I really thought I could help them because I am online. Let's go online. And I was really slow to change things around. So I think I'm still not out of the woods yet. I'm very optimistic it's going to happen now because I can see a lot of people have recovered and I'm getting a better reception as to all the marketing we're doing. And there's excitement in the air for getting stuff ready for next year. But I'm still not out of the woods. So I think, it's about financing and finding people to help you in the right places. Right. That's the hard. That's the hardest part, the money.
Yeah.
It all comes down to money, honestly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's definitely, it can definitely be challenging balancing, you know, growing your agency, bringing in more leads, and then of course, finding that talent on the other side as well. I think it's a constant balancing act for many agency owners.
Yeah, especially when we're trying to get them to spend their money on Google and they take your money hard and fast, right? No excuses, no refunds. And being an agency around that model is at the end of the month, they don't have much left for us, right? It's all going to the Google. So it's a balancing act. Like you have, again, reasonable expectations, but that's what it comes down to, is the money of the clients, as well as if they're not seeing a positive return on this investment, they're not going to continue for very long, right?
Yeah.
Hard to get a 5-star review out of someone who just spent thousands of dollars and saw nothing in return.
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's a challenge. And it'll always be a challenge, which is fun, I guess.
All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay. I probably won't have rapid fire answers, but go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yeah, funny that. So I used to read a lot of books, mostly historical fictions, but I haven't in many years because I'm now getting like my fill of reading on websites all day, every day. And it's hard to pick one. So how about 3? I think the most impactful books I've read would be The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shirer, Noble House by James Clavell, and Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett.
Okay, perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Bill Gates comes to mind first.
Okay.
But I have others. I don't know who they would be, actually. Drawing a blank. Bill Gates, I think. Yeah, I really admire him.
The main one. Okay, yeah. Perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
Probably like the Beatles song, A Day in the Life, you know, woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Something like that. But my morning routine is more like I get up, I make the bed without thinking or even being awake. I get my cup of coffee. I sit with my wife and we figure out what the day's like. We watch the news, figure out our days ahead. And then, then sort of figure out our day from there.
Very good. And then what is your favorite online tool?
Okay. So there are so many online tools that I should give credit to. And I know I'm a Google person and Google partner, and almost everything I talk about is Google this and appeasing Google. And while I do support my clients with Google Workspace, and we've used it ourselves for a while, most of our clients and us internally, we're using Microsoft 365 with Microsoft Teams, Teams Meetings, Teams Phone, Bookings, OneDrive, Outlook, Word, Excel, all of it. And I find that that whole world is such an amazing value, and it's enabling us to do way more for way less. So I am excited to be a Microsoft partner and push that one out there. And I got to say that even I can show people, I like showing people my poor man's CRM using just the free tools that we get or the included tools that we get.
I think
it's hard to say one tool, but I have to say Microsoft 365 is way, way ahead of the curve. And it's funny that Google, for all their money in the world, has been chasing that forever, and they're still not even close.
Yeah. Right.
So I just thought I'd shout that out there while you gave me the chance for the online tool. I should sell my own tool.
Great recommendation. And then finally, I'd love to know, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I think is that it's pointless building a website for a business who has no plans or money to invest in marketing. Pointless.
Yep. Yep.
So that would be the one thing I wish I knew right off the bat, because it would have saved me a lot of stupid websites I built. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Robert, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your journey of growing websites at our fingertips. So thank you again for being my guest today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. That was fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.